other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, November 21st. Is today like significant, November 21st? Is it like a special of anything?
I don't think so.
No, huh?
No.
Just a rainy day in Southern California.
Just a rainy day in Southern California. Me popping bubbles over here. With bubble gum. Man, this is so much fun. I haven't chewed gum like this since I was a little kid.
I didn't even know we had gumballs here. Somebody must have brought them.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So you're chewing gumballs.
And I was like, wow, gumballs. And you're like, what gumballs?
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I didn't even know. You see,
in the green room.
I'm so out of touch with my radio station.
In the green room. There's like those like little like butterscotch candies.
Right.
Everywhere.
Right.
So they're in there too. But then right next to that is like a big jar of like those tiny little like the little gumballs.
Yeah, I don't know who thought about him, but somebody must have brought him.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. This is great. I've got, so far, in my mouth is a banana flavor, and an orange flavor, and I don't know what the white flavor was. I think it was just supposed to be white, but I think I picked it because it, like, rubbed up against one of the little blue balls.
Okay.
You know? So it kind of had blue specks on it.
It's rubbed against the blue balls.
Well, it was, you know, it was like a, you know, double, I don't know, maybe it was like a double gendered gumball. Because
okay.
It was white and it was blue. Uh-huh. It would have been more exciting if it was pink. I don't think I saw any pink gumballs in there.
No,
but it was pink and blue and then purple.
I'm sure I'll find you a pink one.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
What the hell, we can always paint it with nail polish or something.
Ew, that would be toxic. You know, I have a Hello Kitty gumball machine for like those little tiny gumballs.
Oh, you do?
I do. But I've never actually used it. Like, I've never filled it up with gumballs.
Oh.
It was a gift and I'm like, "Oh, that's so cool. I have to go buy a million little gumballs," but I never did.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing. Otherwise, I'd be like chewing.
Yeah. Do you realize you're chewing in everybody's ears right now? Mm-hmm.
I know. That's like blow a bubble. It'll get like stuck to the mic. I'll be in big trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's time to spit it out. Because you know what like really bums me out about these? Mm. Is that they lose their flavor so damn quickly.
They do, huh? Yeah.
Yes. I remember that as a kid being like so excited and being like, really? Already? It's over?
Yeah.
No more flavor? And then you spit it out, and instead of thinking that it's going to look like a rainbow, it just looks like gross because it's like a hodgepodge of like four different colors that do not mix well, by the way.
Wow.
All right, let's see. One, two, three.
Well, we're supposed to have a studio guest this morning, but she's a no-show, and it's kind of tough. Whoops. Because when people don't show up and you think they will, then you don't prepare a show the way you would otherwise.
I know.
You know, so.
I know. Well, maybe for you. I mean, for me, I just talk about whatever's on my mind.
Right. No, I know.
It's just kind of like something will pop up. I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Like my chewing gum. And now if you notice, like I'm swiveling back and forth in my chair like I can't stop. Like I think that gave me a huge sugar high.
That's probably what happened.
Oh, I don't know. What an interesting morning.
Do you think adults can get a sugar high too, or is it just kids?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel that.
Do I usually have this much energy on a Thursday morning?
I don't know. Yeah.
And it's raining and gloomy. Me. Like, I should be, like, wanting to still be in bed sleeping right now. But nope. Right. I am here.
You're here.
Guestless.
Yes.
Which means without a guest in the studio. That's okay. Swiveling in my super fancy leather office chair.
Yeah. Let's describe everything that you do.
These chairs are really fancy, though. I do like
them. Yeah, I mean, I took the time and I decided I'm going to spend a little bit, but have a really cool place here. You know?
Yeah.
I always like the best, you know. I always go, okay, well, how much am I going to save? $20? Well, the hell with it. I want something nicer for that.
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
And, always got to get the nice stuff.
Got to get the nice stuff.
Must be nice. I'm telling you. Where if it was me, it was like, oh, that $20 could get me so much. I'm going to hang on to it.
Listen, you're at a different point in your life. When you're like me, you're going to be super rich, I'm sure. Yeah. You better take advantage of what you have to offer and, you know, and become big. I think everybody has high expectations for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, the pressure's on. What's going on? I mean, have you been doing any shooting, any modeling, any acting?
Anything? I mean, January, you know, January starts pilot season. It's like around this time it gets a little dicey just because there's so many holidays.
Right.
Like back to back.
So
it's
nobody
just
does
kind of
anything?
Like, blech.
Yeah.
Like there's really nothing good out there. But yeah, then after the new year, you know, pilot season is usually until like around like March, like January through March is like, you know, the high point.
Right.
But even though like unfortunately pilot seasons, you know, they're not like they used to be.
Right.
You know, it really isn't the same, but
in
that's okay.
Way?
It's still called pilot season. I mean, people used to like, I mean, I never did this, but like other, you know, kids my age that were, you know, into the whole like acting, modeling, whatever, commercials and stuff back in Chicago used to actually come out here for pilot season. Like it was a very like specific time.
Oh, wow.
And so many people would come here just for that.
Right.
To try to, you know, and of course it was incredibly difficult because they didn't have like representation out here or anything.
Right.
But that's just what a big thing it was that like very specific time that everybody would come out here for to see if they can, you know, catch a big break and not have to go back to, you know, whatever their little hometown is. But
yeah, so do you have an agent that puts you out there or do you need to find someone?
I do. Like, I have agents on and off usually. They're, you know, they last for, you know, for a little while, but then they get, you know, they have to be very careful because I'm in the union, you know, and some agencies just want, you know, they just want to send you out on anything and everything. And that also includes sometimes non-union work. So I always make sure I, you know, read the fine print, do my homework on the breakdowns and be like, okay, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. That's non-union. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm very thorough.
Okay.
My investigations of things before I you know, go out for them. And then you get cast, and then you find out the hard way, you know. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So,
because time is moving. I mean, time doesn't wait, you know. You gotta get there while you're still young and energetic and so forth, you know.
Oh, yeah, very energetic.
And,
just
take
bubble gum before each casting and be like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
So who is our guest supposed to be? A producer, you said, right?
Yeah, her name is Jamie Nutella, and she's a producer, and she's been on, she's made several, I guess, commercials and films and things like that, but I'm not going to talk about it until she shows up.
Yeah,
and
if she
doesn't,
shows up.
Yeah. You know I'm not mean to guests and stuff, but, you know, there could be a reason, but, you know. What can I tell you?
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, people don't just flake on you. You know? There's usually reasons. But yeah, what are you gonna do, Mia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well. It'll just be you and I.
Yeah.
For the time being.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So, did you hear about this airplane that landed in the wrong airport? It's like a huge cargo plane, and it landed in a small airport without even a tower.
Oh my God, how did that happen?
And it's got like a shorter runway than it needs, you know. So I don't know how it happened. I didn't really get into it. But apparently now to get the plane off of there, they need to somehow figure out that it can make it on the short runway. Because, you know, big planes need a long runway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're sitting there trying to calculate if it's going to be able to take off or not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, can
that's
you imagine?
Awkward.
It's like you landed there and then you're stuck. The plane is stuck there. It can't take off.
Yikes.
You know, you'd have to build a new runway just for the plane to take off. But yeah, how do people do that, man? I mean, you're a friggin' pilot, you know? You better know what the hell
you're doing. Especially if they don't have a tower. That's what I don't understand, is how are they able to land in the first place? Unless it was like an emergency landing and they saw the opportunity, but to be like, I think this is where I'll plop down right here. Yep, this looks pretty good. All right.
Must have been high or something, you know? I can't imagine landing in the wrong airport, you know? And, I mean, these pilots, you know, they have to have, like, thousands of hours of flight, you know? They can't just, like, get behind the, you know, the wheel there and fly a plane without really having flown quite a bit.
Was the pilot by himself, or did he have a
I'm sure there's co-pilot. More than one pilot. If it's a big plane, there's at least three people in the crew, if not more.
Yeah, so then how does that happen? Like, somebody going to be like, excuse me, sir, I don't think this is the right place to land. I mean, no, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, who knows? Maybe they were all high.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they were all high.
That's my explanation.
Yeah.
That's why it happened.
Yeah.
They were all high. Literally high in the sky. Ha ha. I thought that was funny. I thought that was a little funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. So I guess it's a smokeout week this week. Let's see. Yeah, it's you know, the day when nobody smokes. In other words, they're trying to get people to quit. So on Smokeout Day, they sort of make people aware, okay, you should quit smoking. Everybody will quit smoking today and stuff.
Oh.
So that's what today is. And sponsored by the American Cancer Society. So,
Is it the same day every year? I didn't know.
I guess, yeah, or something like that. Oh. Or maybe they change it every year, you know.
Oh, okay.
And,
I actually did say, you're like, oh, I think today is something. I'm like,
right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about it, or I really would have made sure that I have a cigarette for that. Just for the fact that I'm not quitting. But, you know, I mean, one day somebody's going to play these audios after I die, and they're going to go, look, you know, he thought he was going to beat death and stuff. But, I don't know. I don't know. I enjoy it, so for now I'm doing this. But, I mean, look at this. Like, a guy says, I ended up in the hospital for 12 days with two chest tubes and the potential for having my chest cracked open.
Wow.
Yikes. I'm telling you, it's like, wow. Yeah.
That's
see,
scary.
As a smoker, I need to read these things. I can't, like, look the other way all the time, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean, this stuff will really
maybe
kill you.
You should start today. Yay.
Yeah.
No smoking day.
I guess they're saying, there's no good day to quit smoking. So there's never a good day, supposedly.
Well, I mean, they also have those commercials, you know, that are pretty frightening.
Yeah, pretty gruesome stuff.
Yeah.
I know. But... yeah, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm enjoying it. I gotta stop. I know, but it's like not even on my radar to quit. You know.
Well, have you ever quit before?
Yeah, I have several times.
How
In
did
fact,
you do
years,
with like a patch or the gum?
No, just cold turkey. Started working out. You know, so that kind of makes you want to smoke less when you work out and stuff. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe that's what I should do, but it was a different time in my life, and I don't know. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, here comes the daily sneeze. There you go.
Two in a row.
It can't possibly be in here. Something in here, though, I'm telling you.
I don't know. I don't sneeze on the weekends.
Well, you know, maybe it's my cologne, but for a while I wasn't wearing any because I was out of it, and he was still, I think he was still sneezing.
Are
so
you
it
sure?
can't be my cologne.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to look back and see.
I know. I'll bring the whole bottle and see if you can stand near it or something. You know?
Right? Oh, gosh. Yeah, man, I had one of those scratch tests before. That was rough.
Really?
For allergies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Where they, like, prick your back.
Oh, really?
With different what? Stuff. Yeah, it's just kind of like a little, like, sharp tool that's, like, dipped in a bunch of different, like, allergy agents or something. And yeah, what you do is you lay on the table and like there's just rows and rows of it. Pretty much your whole back is covered.
Yeah.
And they just prick you with all these different little items.
Really?
And they, you know, leave the room. And they're like, okay, we'll be back in like 25 minutes to a half hour. And basically, like, what happens, obviously, if you're allergic to something, your skin will get very irritated.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so I'm laying there and, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, it might start to itch a little bit, you know, but just do your best and, you know, don't scratch it because, you know, you don't want to, you know, make it worse or, like, screw up any of the results. So just right. try to, you know, keep your hands away from your back if you feel a little bit of an itch or something.
Right.
So I'm like, all right. About 4 minutes into it, I'm like, oh my God, like freaking out because I want to, like, oh my gosh, my whole back itched so bad. Like, I was literally, wow. like, digging my nails into the pillow that I was laying on. Like, it was so bad. And
wow.
then she comes in to check on me and she was like, oh my God, oh my God, we need to record these right now. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I'm
wow.
like, it really itches. And she's like, you are so, like, my whole back, like, freaked out.
Yeah.
I was, like, allergic to everything.
Wow.
It was crazy. Because they test you for, like, animals and, like, environmental allergies and, like,
right.
everything you can think of.
Yeah.
So she was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then they have to go down the line, each individual prick that they did.
Right.
And rate it, like, a 1 to a 4+ or something.
Right.
So, yeah, she's going down the line.
Sounds
like,
exciting.
Trying to go as fast as I could. They're like, oh, my gosh, how do you survive? You're so allergic to everything. This is so sad. We had no idea it
yeah.
was bad.
So are you? I mean, are you allergic to a lot of things?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, there
yeah.
you go. So, I mean, I don't think anything we do in the studio would help. Besides, it's not the end of the
well,
world
see,
if
the,
you sneeze once an hour.
The thing
know?
That, you know, the thing that they have is... you know, because after that, then you can get these shots. Like, they compile, you know, a little bit of everything that, like, I'm allergic to into
right.
an injection.
Mm.
And they would, you know, give me a shot. And everybody, I mean, people swear by it. They said it's, like, foolproof. They're, like, 100%. Like, you will be cured of all your allergies.
Really?
And, yeah. Yeah, I've known a few people that have done it. But, I mean, first of all, they're shots.
Uh-huh.
I hate needles so much.
Right.
Like, I'm super scared, like, deathly afraid of them.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yes. I, oh my gosh, I can't.
You would think you'd get used
and
to it
not
by
even
now,
that,
no?
No.
I mean, you know, after
and
years.
See, but see, here's the thing, though. Like, if I were to do it, I would have to go in once a week for half a year.
Really?
And then continue, like, monthly. And then yearly, and then eventually all your allergies are gone.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just such
that
a big
it's too high a price
commitment.
For you to pay.
Yeah. It's a big commitment. So, and also what I've found is, you know, I haven't really been quite as bad here as, like, I am in Chicago. Like, during the springtime,
yeah.
I am completely out of commission for that whole season.
Wow.
Because my allergies are so
wow.
bad. But
wow.
here... The way they, you know, said it, like, I guess in, you know, in California, things are blooming 11 months out of the year.
Really?
So it's not
yeah.
just all coming at you at once.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why is because, you know, because here it's just like,
yeah.
you know, just a little bit here and
you
there.
Think
so
it's
I think
only
that's
once
why
a year
it's
year?
It's not so bad. But it's,
yeah.
it's 11 months out of the year, things are blooming.
Yeah.
So that's
it's constant.
So it's like,
yeah.
yeah, so it's constant. So I think
right,
I've
okay.
grown more accustomed to it. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
That
a little fun fact for you.
Yeah.
Anybody that has allergies or curious about that, there's some knowledge for you.
Yeah. I know. You know, so. I mean, I remember when my kids were younger, they wanted cats. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so, I mean, we got... Well, I was separated and divorced, and then we got back together for a couple of years. So, with the kids. So, I was... so, the kids had a cat by then, and I couldn't stand living in the... you know, being near the cat because I was sneezing all the time and itching
oh,
and
no.
stuff. So, what happened is for the next 3 years that we lived together again, I had to take, like, daily Claritin every day. You know, to keep that allergy
see,
from coming.
See, I'm like immune to Claritin.
Right.
And all that stuff.
Really?
The only thing that works a little bit for me is Zyrtec.
Oh,
I swear by that. Or the Zyrtec D, which is much more powerful. But I think our guests may have arrived.
You think so? You've seen something?
Yes, there's a blonde female that's been waving in the window. Do you want me to go grab her?
Yeah,
I'll be
right back.
Sam, you entertain our lovely audience while I go grab our guest.
Well, our guest is finally here, obviously. Right, so that kind of saved the show, which is good. Although there's a lot to talk about and stuff. But, you know, on a rainy day, it's probably the traffic. So there you go. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, that's why I never like to talk bad about guests, because you never know what the reason is. And, you know, it could be that I made a mistake and scheduled at the wrong time or something. So these things happen. And, Mia, what's going on? She's probably gone to the restroom or something. No, I'm hearing something. But, yeah, so sometimes, you know, I mean, guests just can't make it on time. And, it's distracting and stuff, but yeah, I'm hearing women talk. Okay, what happened? She had to go.
I can't just go to the bathroom really quick.
Okay, I figured that's what it was. So
yeah, sorry. So she has to use the bathroom.
Okay,
and then she'll be in.
Okay, so we'll wait. We waited 20 minutes.
She's been calling your phone all morning, and she didn't know when to come or something, so she decided to come anyway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm like, well, we started the show at 10 a.m. She's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, okay.
All right. Well, we'll give her the benefit of a doubt. Yeah. What can I say, you know?
But yeah, so she was, you know, calling you nonstop, so maybe she had the wrong number.
No, I see a number that's been calling, but we've been on the air. I don't know how.
Oh, she's been calling into this.
Yeah, and no messages, so I don't know. I don't know, yeah. But at any rate, yeah, I mean, she's here. I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll let her talk about it when she comes in here.
Yeah. But so did you hear that, you know, Chris Brown had to go to rehab, right? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Because he got into a fight or something.
Yeah,
well, apparently now he got kicked out of rehab for acting violently.
Okay, no, this guy needs anger management.
He needs more than that.
A different kind of rehab.
Yeah,
like,
he needs to
seriously.
Be in jail for a while, this guy. You know, I mean, this behavior is like, I'm holier than thou. I'm bigger than everybody else. And I'm going to do what I want. And, you know, the thing is, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
people don't realize it doesn't work like that. So I'm telling you, if he continues like this, he'll find his ass in jail. I mean, how many more infractions
for sure.
is he going to get
away with? And, you know, he's only
with?
Not in jail because of who he is.
Right.
And it's like, that's not really fair.
Right. I can't imagine they're not arresting him because of who he is. But he sort of like got away with a lot of stuff, you know, and I don't understand why. And somebody's got to put him in his place, man. I can't stand this guy, man. I really can't stand it.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
Okay. Let me go get her. She's.
Why is she not coming in?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hi,
there she is.
Right here.
Hi. Have a seat, Jamie. How are you doing, Jamie?
Good.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah,
absolutely.
put the headphones on. Talk closer to the mic. And go ahead and say something so I can hear you.
Hi,
get closer to the
Jamie
mic.
This is Jamie Nutella.
This is Jamie Nutella. And what happened to you?
I called and I let you know I had another interview this morning and they were running a little late, so I left you a couple messages this morning. But,
oh, you did? Well, it was probably when I was on the air already, yeah.
I left it at 8:15 this morning and then another one at
8:15, you left a message?
And another
you actually
one at
left a message, right?
Yep.
Okay, because I don't see messages, but let me see. No, I mean, I believe you. It doesn't really matter. But the thing is, I didn't get a message, and I didn't realize you were calling. But that's okay. So you're finally here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, absolutely.
And
you're finally
you
here. And so Jamie Nutella, and so did you have to drive far to get here this morning?
No, not at all. Really? I live right up the hill, so not very far at all.
Really?
But, I had another interview, though, in Orange County.
Oh,
so
I see.
That took
so
a little
to
bit
drive.
Of time to get here.
I see. Okay. Well, you're here now, and that's all that's important. Was the traffic terrible with the rain and everything?
It was.
Yeah.
For some reason, whenever it rains in L.A., I think more than any other city, everything stops.
Right.
People just aren't prepared here for bad weather.
Right.
So for some, you know, when it rains, for no reason at all, at all.
Right.
There's no event taking on right now, you know.
It's right. But it's because, yeah, but the roads get slick and stuff like that, you know, so you have to be careful.
Even
and stuff
my
like
Uber driver was really happy last night because I had to go to a birthday dinner, you know, and I'm like, ah, it's raining. I don't have to park far, walk in the rain. I'm just going to do Uber. I love Uber. and he was like, oh, I really, really love this weather because, look, nobody on the road but you and I. I'm like, how about that?
Sounds like Dracula.
I didn't ask him where I was from, but it sounded something like that. Yeah.
So, Jamie, how long have you lived in L.A.? I mean, it sounds like you're from somewhere else, right?
Where I'm from Chicago.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Really?
And I moved here when I was 17.
Oh, really?
But I lived abroad for a long time. I lived in Tokyo 7 years, on and off to Hong Kong for a year, and London 2 years.
Really?
What part of Chicago? So, I'm from Chicago, so.
I have two older brothers, and so we all grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and then my family moved to the city. Northbrook.
Schaumburg, Elk Grove area. Yeah.
Yeah, Northbrook, and then Highland Park, and now the city. So it's nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Cool.
So it got a little variety of everywhere.
Close by.
Yeah. A little closer to the mic because I want to hear you very well.
Okay.
And nice and
full. Is
that
better?
That's a lot better.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So I wanted to ask you, so when, let's first cover, it's just that I wasn't prepared. I didn't think you were coming at all after we started and stuff. So I've got all these things waiting here. But so you're a filmmaker, right?
That is correct. I am actually a commercial producer.
Oh, you produce commercials.
I produce commercials.
Wow.
So my clients are ad agencies. Uh-huh. The name of my company is Blue Eyed Pictures.
Oh, wow. I wonder why. Because you have brown eyes?
ironically, right?
Yeah.
We produce commercials. We're kind of multifaceted. We have multimedia content, so... as well as our clients being ad agencies, we produce live events for people, content, you know, to download, viral campaigns, corporate videos directly for, you know, clients such as Pioneer or Frito-Lay or P&G, just depending on what people need.
Very cool. So how long have you been doing this now?
I've been doing it for 18 years, but Blue Eyed is celebrating its 15-year anniversary this year.
Wow, that's cool. So, and that's your company, right?
That is my company. And we have offices in Tokyo, London, and Los Angeles.
Wow. That's because you lived in those places, right?
So because I lived in those places. But I also felt, originally when I moved to Tokyo, I was producing a TV show on the air there for Tokyo Broadcasting System. And what I found by working at the network is that, when I lived there, English wasn't such a spoken word. So you had these non-foreign crews. They weren't very production-friendly for foreigners. And I thought there was a little niche that I could possibly start a company to service foreign production companies coming there who wanted to speak. They didn't know how to, wanted to do production. They didn't know how to speak the language. They didn't know how to go about, approaching permits or locations.
Right.
So we decided to start a company, and I was really lucky. I had some nice people who were very supportive of me.
Uh-huh.
And we started approaching foreign clients to come and produce, commercials in Tokyo.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Chicago, right?
Yes.
And do you have siblings?
I do. I have two older brothers, Jordan and Randy. And then I also have a sister named Karen.
Oh, I see. Is she younger or older?
She is 1 year younger.
Oh, okay. So you're sort of like in the middle there.
Yes, okay. Yes. And she actually used to work in advertising. So we share that common love.
Wow. That's interesting. So what were you doing that you finally discovered that you like advertising and things like that? I mean, what was your childhood like?
My childhood, I had such a fantastic childhood.
Really?
My mother and father were working class, people just like us. My mom was, she was a registered nurse, but she also was a ballroom dancer. That was her real love. And she performed and, all around the globe at the NBCs and, was always doing competitions. And my father owns an insurance agency called Financial Plans. I'm going to plug that in.
Okay. Is that in Chicago still?
That is in Chicago. Okay. He's licensed in Chicago and Arizona. Uh-huh. And I really had... I think my parents, it started when they took me to see a play, and I knew that I wanted to perform.
Oh, really?
And, and my mother, since she was traveling and dancing, she would always take me on auditions, and she got me an agent. And I just knew that that's what I wanted to do. I was lucky enough to perform for a couple plays and do some commercials in Chicago. And then I went to a performing arts high school, kind of like Fame, but we didn't dance on the tables, called the Chicago Academy for the Arts, which now is really prestigious in Chicago. And, you know, it was probably one of its first. You know, John Cusack graduated from there. Robin Tunney was from there. Laura Flynn Boyle was in my grade. So really? A lot of John Malkovich and Karen Allen, who helped start, you know, the Chicago Playhouse Steppenwolf, would come and teach us and be our teachers. So the plays that we would perform there were taken quite seriously for the public. And, you know, I was really lucky. Instead of gym, we had African dance. Yeah. You know, we'd study ballet. So I really felt like that's what I wanted to do at a young age. And I was, you know, fortunate enough to be able to attend this high school to do that.
That's true, yeah. So you discovered this love for acting and performing early on.
That's correct.
Now, so you went to high school and stuff, and what happened after that? Did you decide to go to college? Did you decide to pursue your arts? Because you're not really a college person, are you?
Well, actually, I am a college person.
I meant
love to study and learn and grow.
I meant you're creative.
I'm more creative, but as I got older, I realized I didn't really love being in front of the camera so much. I like creating things and putting things together. I like someone else, you know, coming to me with a vision, especially ad agency people. There's so much work that goes in a product from research from the account side to the creative side.
Right.
I actually really like executing their vision and putting it all together, doing the budgets, making the crew deals, hiring the crew, and making sure that it gets on the air and that their vision with the director gets shown.
Yeah.
But I think to answer your question, I skipped eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
So I graduated at 17.
Wow.
I had to skip eighth grade to get to the performing arts high school. I auditioned and was accepted, and that was the, you know, the terms of their agreement with me.
Now, but when you skip a class, what happens? I mean, do you have to make it up somehow?
You know, they take SATs, and if you score a certain amount on your SATs, I think you're all right. Believe it or not, eighth grade is the worst grade to skip because what happens from seventh to freshman, you become, puberty starts.
Yeah.
So I remember being in freshman grade, you know, all the girls had boobs and I had braces and was flat chested and really skinny and scrawny. It was not a fun experience for me. But what actually ends up happening is because you're with people who are a year older than you, you tend to, you know, learn a lot more from them. They've had this extra year of development. So your relationships with people, you know, just everything, like, you know, exceeds, I mean, progresses at a much faster rate.
Yeah, you have, you know, pretty much all your high school years of being with older people. I mean, I just did, like, my last year. That's when I decided, like, I'm just not going to have a senior year. I'm just going to graduate as a junior. So I didn't know that you can I wasn't really that smart. I'm not a good test taker, so I probably wouldn't have been able to skip a grade. But that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. So after high school, did you actually go to college then?
Well, I attended a theater arts program at Northwestern called the Northwestern Cherubs, and it was a program dedicated to high school students who are advanced in the performing arts. So I did that, which gave me a chance to kind of be on a campus for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when I came here, I did classes at UCLA Extension. It was really important for my mom to continue my education, and, you know, we can only draw so much from your everyday experiences, and I think, you know, at some point, you know, you relate back to whether it's science or chemistry or math. Those things really do play every day in your life. I know some people, you know, my cousin has this outlook that he's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have to put it, you know, what am I going to learn from geometry? I'm like, well, it's actually the way you go about utilizing your brain to think about things or put things together. So I do think, you know, education is so important. So I love learning and growing. So
that's awesome.
I still take classes.
Yeah, that's cool. I know. You know, I'm thinking of going back to college, getting the master's or something.
Really?
You know? Yeah, just because.
I don't know if I could ever go back
the hell
to college. Once I was done, I was like, got my degree. I'm done. I never want to go back to school.
Yeah, well, you're an artistic type.
You
can't sit.
Maybe if I'm like older and I feel like refreshing my psychology brain, then I'll, you know, take some classes. But, oh, man, that's cool.
Yeah. So you finished high school, you went to that, and then at what point did you decide you're going to move away from Chicago?
You know, I knew that right after the program from Northwestern, I wanted to come to Los Angeles. And my mother was so supportive of that. She really wanted me to come out here, get an agent, an audition. She knew that I was, I mean, that's what my dad and her paid for, was for me to go to this performing arts high school. So, ironically, we moved here, but everybody I grew up with in Chicago is here.
Los Angeles. They already moved.
Pretty much everybody I went to high school with, or most of the Steppenwolf crowd is here. You've got such a large group of Chicagoans. You've got Casey Shamasco, Nina Shamasco, Bill Peterson, Karen Allen, Jeff Perry, John Malkovich, Laura Boyle, So there's a large group here of Chicagoans. They used to do the Chicagoan party at Ed DeBevick's every year.
Really?
Where all the Chicago...
There's an Ed DeBevick's here?
There used to be.
Oh, my God.
Now my age is coming out, but there used to be. On La Cienega Boulevard, it was like a 50s diner,
I used to go to the one in Chicago.
Yeah, the original one, I think, was here.
But they're like purposely mean to you, kind
of. I've never heard
like
of
it's
it.
Very, they it's come, very interesting.
Oh no! Well, they kind of have to have that like crass attitude, right?
They kind of like, "Hi, what do you want? Hurry up! Tell us what you want! Come on!" Like, and it's just, it's quite an entertaining.
So you decided to move here. Did you know anybody when you moved here?
I did. Well, at first I didn't. My mother came out before me. Mm-hmm. I had an audition for a pilot called Foley's Girls, which ended up being Rags to Riches on television.
Really?
And my mother came out by herself, because the day I was supposed to move, I got cast in a Kmart commercial.
Really?
And we had a film in the evening in a grocery store. So my mom decided to come out without me. And she hired a driver, found a studio apartment on Holloway, made sure I had furniture, really
took care of me. Wow, cool. You're very lucky.
Very, very supportive family.
To do that for you. Yeah.
So, and then I started auditioning, and I was literally, Laura and I were in the same grade. Laura Boyle and I were in the same grade in high school, but we kind of lost track of each other after we graduated. And I was driving down La Cienega Boulevard, and someone was behind me, and there's like a horn beeping. I'm like, what's going on? I'm not going too fast. And she kind of like cut me off in front, and I look over, and it was Laura.
Whoa.
And she had just moved here to do the movie How I Got Into College. And
she recognized you?
She recognized me from driving, probably because I'm a terrible driver. I'm a total Chicago driver. And her mom was here as well. And we ended up, she ended up being good friends and even staying together until her mother permanently moved here. They were looking for a place. So for a while, we were together in this studio apartment, on Holloway Drive. So it was a good experience. And she really kind of took me under her wing. She was a good friend to me. And I got to attend auditions with her and just sort of see her lifestyle. She was more advanced. She had done a lot more, had a lot more success than I.
Right.
So.
No, but the question is, though, that you took a different direction, though, right? I mean, you started producing your own stuff. You got into commercials. How did that happen?
I think it started early on. I did Doogie Howser and The Trials of Rosie O'Neill, and I realized I think I just didn't, during the breaks and the cuts and the lighting setups, you start looking at what everyone else is doing. And I just started realizing, it was more looking at the director and the producer, seeing how they were kind of delegating to all the different key departments.
Right.
I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah,
like,
I want to be the boss.
Yeah, I want to know that too, definitely. But I wanted to know how they put it all together, how they approach things, like that. Their thought process was much different than just learning lines and working with an acting coach.
Right.
And I sometimes get a little bit shy in front of the camera. So for me, I felt like, wow, instead of... now knowing myself, I don't think I could ever really be in the public eye. I think I'm more behind. Mm-hmm. But I think I said, okay, I want to give this a go. So I started getting jobs at, production houses. I had a really strong mentor named Beth Lemire, who's now a writer and producer herself. Uh-huh. She worked at this company called GMS. And she was the receptionist, and she got me a job in accounting. Uh-huh. And I was like, an accountant? I'm not anything in accounting. But, you know, totally looking opposite. Back at it, that was probably the best job I ever had, because all I do now is budgets and approach, uh-huh. you know, production.
Really?
To put
so
it together.
It helped you, huh?
It was an incredible, it was a really good job, now that I think about it.
Wow.
I was probably miserable that I was stuck, you know, in front of, you know, doing numbers and calculators. We didn't have computers then.
Yeah. I know, that's funny. So, how did you end up in Tokyo? You said you lived in Japan for a while?
I did. I lived in Japan for almost 7 years.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I had a fantastic experience. I helped produce a short called Submission that Benicio del Toro wrote and directed. And he put Valeria Golino and Matthew McConaughey in it. And it was a short. And it got submitted to the Venice Film Festival. And Benicio was kind enough to let me be a part of it and gave me a producer credit. And I helped, you know, with the production of it. And I thought, God, this is our first movie. It's going to Venice Film Festival. And it just so happens that my family was going to... at that time, they were going to be in Italy, but they ended up not going, but I ended up going.
Oh, okay.
And at these film festivals, you know, people approach you, even if it's a short, and a lot of people gave me their cards. A week later, nobody called, but right. this Japanese guy kept calling me, and apparently really? We had met, and he said, you know, I produced this show on Tokyo Broadcasting System, and I have a British producer. She's pregnant. She's moving back to the UK. Would you come out for a job interview? And I thought, wow. free trip to Tokyo.
Yeah, I'll do it. What the heck, you know?
I'd do it, too. That's
so
awesome.
So I met my roommate on the plane, ended up going out for a job interview, and I didn't even get on the plane to come back. In fact, I had my apartment here that I was renting for a year and a half, just kept paying the rent.
Really?
And I came back over a weekend, a year and a half later, and just threw everything out and got rid of my apartment and flew back.
Wow, so that takes a lot of courage to do that, huh? I mean, did you know you were going to live there for a while in Japan?
I didn't. I thought, you know, I was taking day by day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd never lived in a foreign country, which was such an exceptional experience for me. No one at that time spoke English. Mm. So I was learning Japanese. I was reading and writing. The majority of people that I became friends with were expats that worked in finance or lived in Australia, New Zealand, London, India. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Tokyo only had 3 stations. Rupert Murdoch hadn't bought Star yet. So there was no, you know, stations except these 3 stations. And I remember... trying to get an American movie. I remember going into a video shop, and the only American movie they had was Leon. I probably watched Leon 100 times until I started, because I was trying so hard to learn the language. I was putting, you know, cue cards. I was writing the words down and putting them all over the apartment so I could, you know, learn it.
Wow.
But
how do you learn Japanese? It sounds so difficult, you know?
You know, I think I'm not good with languages. I am absolutely horrific with languages. But I think when you're surrounded by people who don't speak your native tongue, mm-hmm. and all they're speaking is the language around you, you pick it up.
Oh, really?
And you're kind of forced to. Yeah, you get into a taxi and you tell it to go straight in English. They're like, what kind of night? Don't understand, you know? I'm like, please, Matsugo, you know, straight. You tend to pick up these little words right. just to get around. I mean, there were many times that I went into the grocery store and I would see this beautiful grape like on a yogurt. And I'd be like, yes, grape yogurt. And I would get home and it would be like seaweed flavored.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the frustration. Of not being able to read the kanji or hiragana. Yeah. So you get yourself into a situation where you get frustrated, can't read billboards, can't pick up magazines. You know, now it's very westernized. There's English, and a lot mm-hmm. of the Japanese, you know, good on them. They are actually learning our language and being taught it in school.
Yeah.
But I think thanks to Rupert Murdoch as well, when he bought Star, he opened up so many stations. So you would be sitting in your living room watching a Japanese program completely in Japanese. You know, I'd be with the subtitles underneath trying to, you know, do the English version of it. And then all of a sudden you'd see like an Indian commercial, welcome, try my saffron rice. You know, it was like, where did that come from? We're in Tokyo. You know, all of a sudden Rupert Murdoch opened these, you know, other markets to India and Hong Kong, China, you know, so we were watching other stations.
Right.
So it was a really great time. And, you know, the economy was still, you know, very, it was booming when I lived there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Nice. So 7 years, huh?
7 years.
Wow. And then in London, how long did you live there for?
I lived in London 2 years.
2 years. And that was after Japan?
It was after Japan. I was actually, before London, there was Hong Kong as well. I was there during the handover. So I was dating a gentleman, and he lived in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And I was going back and forth, and then the handover happened, and then he moved to Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
So it was a good thing. So he was British, and hence why we ended up in London as well.
I see. Okay.
But
so you've traveled around the world a little bit and stuff. And
I have,
cool.
Yeah. Which is great because I didn't get a chance to do it when I was little.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a good little Midwestern girl in my sheltered little life.
You know? Right.
So it was nice when you start working, you get that opportunity. It really opens up a lot of knowledge about other cultures and people.
Yeah.
Makes you more, have more compassion as well for how people live who don't as much as us in America.
That's true, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you working on now? You started Blue Eye Production how long ago?
I started Blue Eye Pictures 15 years ago.
Pictures, I'm sorry. 15 years ago. Wow, so you've been around for a while. And obviously, if you've been around that long, you're doing well. So so what are you working on currently?
Currently, we just did a commercial for the Super Bowl for Bud Light.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're in the big league, huh?
Well, I don't know if we're in the big league. You know, it's random. I feel lucky. We had commercials 2 years in a row in Super Bowl. We had Lexus last year, which Simon Needham directed through Attic Ad Agency. So that was fantastic.
Right.
And so we have on the air right now University of Arizona, which I think is just airing on the West Coast. We have Bud Light, which even though it's for Super Bowl, they're starting to like prepare.
I'm not old enough to do beer commercials yet. They always look so fun. I'm like, oh man, I want to do one of those.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not old enough.
You're 23.
Yeah, I know.
How
I'm
old
still
do you
not
have
old
to
enough.
Be to do...
You have to be like over 25.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm that serious. I can't do any liquor or beer advertisement or commercials.
Wow.
Until I'm of age, yeah.
Wow. Would you like to be young again?
I know.
When you still can't
that
do things.
That's beautiful. I noticed you're wearing an Egyptian necklace.
Oh, a cartouche. Yeah, it's my mom's name, actually. She got it in Cairo before I was born. So I've always found Egyptian culture very fascinating. So I just started wearing it one day. I found it in her jewelry box, and I never took it off. I'm going to get one of my own someday. I want to spend some time there and learn and study because it's interesting. But, yeah. Have you ever been to Egypt?
I have. I've been a couple times. In fact, the last time I was there was a couple days right before the riot just broke out.
Oh, boy.
So that was very recent. And it was very different because I was there probably 8 years earlier.
Right.
And this time they had, when you were driving, it was very, I don't want to say military-driven. You had checkpoints when you would drive places. And there was just kind of this somber feeling within the people. So you felt like something wasn't right, which I was urged to leave, so I'm glad that I did. Because then a couple of days later, you know, everything broke out.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, we are out of time. We'll probably have to ask you to come back. There's still so much that I want to ask you about.
I would love to.
Yeah, for sure. So you live here in L.A., right?
I live in Los Angeles.
Right.
I'm off to New York tomorrow for the Children of Chernobyl charity event, which I'm on the board for. So I'm very excited about that.
How long have you been involved with that?
Let's see. I've been involved probably 3 or 4 years. Stephen Paul introduced me to the charity. Nancy Spielberg, Stephen's sister, is involved with Shim and Katz. And this year, John Voight and Liv Schreiber are the speakers.
That'll be nice. That'll
you know?
Be cool.
Have you guys watched Ray Donovan?
No.
It's fantastic. It is such an amazing show. I think.
Really? Where is it?
It's on Showtime.
I believe
it's a Showtime. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not big TV watchers, so we don't know what's going on. But
but it's fantastic. I mean, if you are familiar with John Voight as an actor, he is completely out of his realm. I mean, he's hilarious. You look at him and you don't even look like you're watching John Voight on screen.
Wow.
You know, there's an episode where he's wearing this hula hoop and dancing around, getting high, smoking a joint because it's part of the storyline. But, you know, you look at it and go, can you believe that Oscar winner, he's just like you don't even realize you're looking at them.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, Jamie Nutella, the company's Blue Eye Pictures, and you want to give out the website?
Yes, www.blueyedpictures.com. We're also on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And check out, you know, we're
so people can
active.
Get to you through that, right? Through those websites and stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Well, all the best to you. A lot of success.
Thank you.
I feel like it's incomplete, you know, like we didn't finish.
I know.
You know, so next time.
I feel terrible.
No, it's okay.
I had the number that you gave me. I'll show you the number. I'll write it so you see.
No. I'm sure you called. It just said. Whatever, it doesn't really matter. it does happen, and we'll reschedule again for you to come back. But I'm glad you made it, and it sounds very interesting. You're very interesting.
Thank
you. And a lot of fun. And that's it. So all
yeah.
Of
do you guys watch commercials? I just want to ask you, do you watch commercials? Or are you
sometimes.
Like a TV
I started
type
doing
that,
commercials
like,
when I was 9, so I've always paid attention to commercials. People used to make fun of me all the time. They're like, you know, like all these commercials, why do you always watch commercials? I'm like, because it's my thing.
Yeah.
I so, love
okay,
that.
Guys,
oh, I do. I watch commercials.
Yeah. Well, we got to run, guys. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
And thanks again, Jamie.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.